Welcome to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
We are the 4J Climate Justice Team. We're a combination of students and staff and faculty from the 4J high schools, and we aim to kind of make climate education a more focal point in our schools.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, and generous support from Lane County and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's January 7th, 2022 program, Student Leadership in Climate Education in Eugene School District 4J. My name is Karin Knutson, and I am the City Club President-elect, stepping in today for our current Board President, Kitty Piercy. The mission of the City Club of Eugene is to build community vision through open inquiry, and we invite you to join us in that work. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. For today's program, we welcome our speakers, Bodhi Coelho from South Eugene High School, Sandra Cronin from North Eugene High School, Olivia Plum from Sheldon High School, and Lottie Rohde from Churchill High School, as well as our moderators, Sarah Roguero Kirby, Eugene 4J Secondary Science Specialist, and Tana Shepherd, Eugene 4J Climate, Energy, and Conservation Specialist. More extensive biographical information about today's speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. And now to introduce today's program, Student Leadership in Climate Education in Eugene School District 4J. Students from Eugene School District 4J's four high schools are leading the way on environmental stewardship. Effective environmental stewardship, like most complex civic activities, relies on knowing how the patterns and substance of everyday life contribute to good practice. Public education has always played a role in building the knowledge and skills among ordinary people to develop their competence in nurturing healthy communities. But students have not always been a part of the curriculum design team, and this program shows how times are changing. The 4J Climate Justice Team is a network of students and staff across the district. The team's goal is to implement pre-K to 12 climate education in schools within 4J, with the broader aim of sharing successful strategies statewide. They are currently focusing on ways to infuse climate education into the existing K through 12 curriculum across subjects, as well as ways to bring sustainable practices to all buildings in the district. And I would now like to turn the program over to our first speaker, Bodhi Coelho.
I just want to say really quickly that we're very, very grateful to be able to be hosted by KLCC and the City Club Show. This is exactly what we needed to just have a platform to get our message out, yeah? So as Karin said, we are the 4J Climate Justice Team. We're a combination of students and staff and faculty from the 4J high schools, and we aim to kind of make climate education a more focal point in our schools. With that, I'm Bodhi Coelho. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm from South Eugene.
Hello, I'm Olivia Plum. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm from Sheldon.
Hello, my name is Sandra Cronin. I go to North Eugene High School, and I use she, her pronouns.
Hi, I'm Lottie Rohde. I use she, her pronouns, and I go to Churchill High School.
Hi, I'm Tana Shepherd. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a teacher on special assignment for climate, energy, and conservation. Also the eWeb Education Grant Partnership Coordinator and the Love Food Not Waste Coordinator for District 4J.
And I'm Sarah Ruggiero Kirby. I am the Secondary Science Specialist for Eugene 4J and also coordinate outdoor school for our elementary schools in the district.
And before we begin, we just wanted to quickly address why using pronouns is important and should be a regular act in 2022 and forward. By using, asking, and respecting people's personal pronouns, it creates a safe and respectful environment for everyone to feel comfortable and included. It is also important to never assume someone's pronouns. For example, if someone's pronouns are she, they, You wouldn't just use she to address them. You would also use they interchangeably. Thank you.
Exactly. All right. And I'd just like to mention that the 4J Climate Justice Team was born in January of 2020. It came out of students' requests and voice for wanting to learn something about climate change. So we came together for the first ever 4J Climate Summit that had over 60 teachers and students. Then COVID hit, but we kept going and had a few other things happen along the way, and here we are today. And sorry, I should have said I use she, her pronouns as well. So we're gonna start off with having students share their climate stories and just go from there.
Hello, I'll get us started. First of all, I think I speak for all of us when I say that we, as our generation, as young people here, we have never known a world without climate change. And our experiences in that sense are kind of fundamentally formed around this.
So as a young person, I have been exposed frequently to like the impacts and like what has happened due to climate change. And we have collectively not really known a world without climate change. We've been aware of the impacts, and we kind of feel a little bit helpless when thinking about it, because as young people, we don't have much power in terms of what can be done.
That helplessness, I think, is, at least for me, was one of the big reasons why I joined this team. Like, after just a few months being with these people, like these amazing people I'm sitting here with, I feel much more solidified that there's like actually something that we can do. Just being with people who think the same way and think are actually thinking about action rather than just talking is really, really reassuring.
I think especially for me, I grew up in Utah, and I didn't know what climate change was for a really long time. All I knew is that every year the snow would melt more and more, or the snow would turn black with pollution, but I didn't really know why that was. And every time I would ask, people would just say, oh, you know, it's just like the kind of new normal, but I didn't know what this new normal was. And then when I moved to California, I was then faced with different problems like wildfires and droughts. And I didn't really know why these things were happening. I just knew that it was the new normal that I was faced with. And I knew that it wasn't the life that my mom had lived when she was younger. Yeah. And then when we would go on road trips when I was younger, we would pass by like hundreds of farms, and they would have cows in them, and there were hundreds of cows in this really small cage, and they would all kind of be standing all on top of each other, on each other's feces, and you could see that some of them, like their babies had died and were laying like below them, and they were eating like these small amounts of food. And I remember after that, I was like, okay, this is something more than just weather. This is something more than what I've been thinking of like climate, this like thing as. And then I became vegetarian after that, not knowing that it was helpful for the world, just knowing that I felt empathy for these creatures that I didn't even know. I just saw that they had these terrible lives. So luckily, when I moved to Oregon, I learned what climate change was, and I was so excited that I finally had this name to put on it. But at the same time, I was like, oh, okay, so it's not just me noticing these things. It's an actual problem that we're all facing in everyday life. And ever since then, I've just been really passionate about trying to figure out ways to help that and to go about that.
I think it's pretty apparent, at least for us, that our climate education process has been very recent. So within our teenage years, and the reason why we want to place such a big focus on early climate education is because we didn't get that really that much. And we really wish that we had, because it was very confusing as a child to be told that our world is basically dying and that we're the ones who are gonna be responsible for saving it. And we're like, what am I supposed to do about that? So if there's this kind of gentle but realistic kind of segue into a climate education that kids can get from a young age, it just feels like there's going to be a more reassured and more likely to take action in it, our generation will be.
Yeah, for me, ever since, I mean, when I was a really young kid, I didn't really know a whole lot about the actual science behind climate change, but I loved like the outdoors and like nature and just being in wild areas. And so even when I was young before, I knew the science behind climate change. You know, I'd see like pollution on the side of the road and it, or, like litter, and that made me upset as a young child. But then, you know, then I learned mostly on my own what climate change actually was. And like Bodhi said, like I just felt so helpless as well. I think we all kind of have experienced that, just in the sense that like there's this big world out there and I'm a small person, one person. And then in 2019, I remember seeing like a headline that said we had 18 months left to save the Earth. And I don't know where that number came from or what, like, I don't know the validity of that statement, and I don't know if I even read the article, but what I remember is just what stuck with me was that 18-month window ended on my 17th birthday, and so I had this sense of, like, the world will be condemned before I have the chance to experience it, which was really, I think that's kind of what pushed me into moving towards more action and more, like, joining this group. I joined this group in 2020, but it wasn't until last year that I really got more involved in it.
Yeah, I noticed that there was just kind of like a nationwide lack of climate education. Obviously, every experience is different for every school, but for me, I grew up in Washington, and there's a lot of state parks, and I was a kid that would like go out and go on hikes and go camping because I love nature. And then Seattle obviously is like vastly different from other places. And I would see the contrast between the big cities with all this pollution and all the litter and then the beautiful forests that I would go to. So as a kid, it was kind of confusing because I didn't really understand why that was and why there was such a difference. But I knew that there was something wrong and thought there was something that could be done to fix it. I've experienced like a disappointment in the school system because the only climate change education that I got was my sophomore year in biology and then my science class after that. So I didn't really have any formal climate change education before that, even though everything else that I knew was either taught to myself or from media, like social media or the news.
At least for me, I just want to share that one thing that's important for the climate education as a very young kid is like building a, like what you're talking about, like a basis of compassion for nature, right? Because I think it's pretty surprising actually how many kids don't get that love of nature that I think a lot of us can feel and see very clearly. There are these very easy, collaborative, community building like curriculums that can build a love for nature so that when they transition into elementary, middle, high school, and then obviously off to college, that they'll have a foundation of love for the environment that they can build their action off of.
Yeah, I completely agree. My sister, she currently is a student at ATA Middle School, and she grew up loving nature her whole life, and she was even in the green team at Adams Elementary, and that was her favorite class. She loved the whole compost and recycling that they did there. And then just this year, as she's gone into middle school, they don't have a club at her middle school that's dedicated to it. And so now she's kind of left with, okay, well, I know how to compost and recycle, but what is that really going to do for the earth? And then kind of through that, she now is like, okay, well, I guess the only thing left to do is to get a job that would help in the science world, but that's not really what I want to do. But do I even have a choice as this 12-year-old in my future?
Isn't it crazy that like 12-year-olds are thinking that nowadays? It's like that they have this set choice as a career. Yeah. It's pretty scary.
Okay. So the next sort of topic or subject that we were discussing is integrated climate education and why it's important and how that would, you know, how you sort of see that looking.
I can speak to that first quickly. I think we've been pondering this for a while. We have our obviously our general hope, but we have to think about the ways that we collaborate with the administration, with teachers, with TOSAs, with all our students to be able to create maybe curriculums, maybe programs, maybe professional development, but however we can to like integrate climate education into each subject. Because there's this misconception that education about climate change has to be focused on science, on the sciences, right? When really it applies to every section of our lives, whether professional or not. So if we're able to incorporate it into math, into social studies, into sciences, into even electives as well, that's our goal. So that kids will, in high school especially, it'll start to come more to the forefront of their mind, and there's gonna be this natural desire for action.
Yeah, I know personally that, personally, math isn't my favorite subject, but I think if we were to do more things with word problems, with actual statistics and real life things, I think I would actually kind of wake up in my math classes and think to myself, oh, okay, so I'm actually gonna use this in real life. I can actually use this math in real life, which is something that oftentimes keeps me away from my math classes. So I think in all of my subjects, including Spanish or literature or social studies and things like that, I think I and a lot of people I know would just be a lot more excited about going to school if we actually were hearing about real life problems other than Sally going to the store and getting 4 apples and blah, 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 blah.
And I think in general, a lot of people are a lot more willing to learn about topics and be interested in their subjects if they understand like the real world application. And that's kind of, I know that's a big push in education as a whole, is just to understand the real world application. And I think there's not a whole lot that's more real world applicable than climate change.
I just wanted to say that it's not as hard as it seems to be to integrate climate education into schools. For example, the other day in my math class, we had a example problem that was about like a pollution spill and then how much, like the rate at it spills every single day. And I think that's a good example of how we can slowly integrate it into schools and make it more normalized.
I mean, the way I see it is like, you know, in Spanish, for example, I've taken Spanish my whole life, and there are so many articles that we read, for example, that, you know, we'll be reading an informative article in Spanish to get more of a sense of the language. And if we're reading these articles, why not make them about climate change? And why not make it more accessible to understand the problems that we face?
Yeah, on that subject, it can be very simple. It can be these little things that you incorporate into classes. And I also wanted to mention that I think it's very focused on the teachers. It's very dependent on the education the teachers have, the viewpoints the teachers have. So if there are ways that we can encourage our teachers to start incorporating more environmentalist language, textbooks, curriculum into their classes, it would be a lot easier to integrate it in, because the teachers are I know for myself that the most valuable climate education I've received is from teachers I know who are very passionate about it. The other thing is, especially in Eugene, we have like all the resources to do this. We have the teachers who feel like they want to teach this stuff. We have the curriculum, all the textbooks centered around this. Eugene is a very, compared to other places, is a very climate responsible place. Though we have a lot of work to do, just like everybody else, I feel that we do have the resources to create, like to integrate this curriculum right now.
As far as the actual teachers go, I think really just making it accessible for teachers to understand not just the importance of this, but also making resources for them and more accessible, making it easier to teach, because a lot of them care and want to teach this, but aren't always able to, unfortunately.
Examples for say elementary schoolers, we could integrate some sort of composting program or outdoor program. Like Lottie was saying, her sister used to go to like an outdoor school type of thing, and something like that to get children more engaged with the environment and help them build this foundation for loving the environment will make it easier for us to educate them on climate change, because they already have this underlying love for the environment and a will to take care of it.
When we think about a movement, a really powerful movement, like movements through history, especially in America, a lot of them are fueled by education at the base level, right? Like we have the education of the people who are interested in the movement, and then we have the action. So unfortunately, right now, we don't have nearly enough action going on in our world to be able to save it by 2030, by 2050, like the goals that the Paris Agreement in 2015, for example, that were set then. We don't have nearly enough action going on. So I think what we've realized altogether is that to start off, we need education, and then we need action. I've personally seen that our club, our environmental club at South, has been growing really rapidly. We're able to promote it and stuff, and I think the fact that this team is created is really important for promotion of the education, first of all.
Yeah, and at Churchill, where I attend school, we have this really awesome program called the Rachel Carson Program, where it's kind of a mix of environmental science and like social science. And I think that it would be really powerful to have programs like that spread around the different high schools and not just have it at mine. We also have marine biology at my school, and I'm really lucky to be taking that this trimester, but it's the only school in the district to offer that class. And so I think more classes like that could be really cool, but as everyone was saying, just kind of integrating it into everyday subjects would be super powerful, and I think would make a really big difference.
Yeah, and that actually reminded me that from the little I know about Rachel Carson, she was like a very prominent and pretty controversial in her time, I think, environmentalist and author, and among other things. But it just shows how far overdue this is, you know, how far overdue the action is and the education is. The fact that Rachel Carson decades ago was so sure about this stuff, and now we have a program named after her. Yeah, it's very, very overdue.
So we'll move on to this sort of next section, which is, you know, the actions and sort of asks and thoughts for listeners.
First of all, I think we wanted to talk about depoliticizing climate change, because the truth is, and it's very important that we focus and that we can hold the truth together, the truth is that climate change is not debatable. It's a science topic. It is proven by science, just like everything else throughout history that we've all believed in and that we've all accepted through endless proofs and endless work. It's not a debatable topic. So what we want to talk about now is just why it's so important to remove politics from climate change, because it's much more important than politics or any type of disagreements we have with each other.
Regardless of who you are, climate change will affect you, and it's going to affect people disproportionately, but overall, it will affect everyone. Regardless of how it's argued politically, it affects everyone. So we all need to do our part to take action.
And I think that action sometimes can look, it can be a little scary to like to talk to someone, even maybe close family or a friend, who maybe is on a different side of the political spectrum. And there's this like gentle reconciliation we have to come to around climate change and politics. If we're able to, in our conversations about politics, remove climate change from it, and when we talk to our peers about climate change, remove any type of political figures or political parties from it, that can be a really helpful way to just be able to have discussions rather than arguments about it. We do not want to be having arguments about climate change at all.
I will also say that in order to take action, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have any, like, big knowledge of a subject. Right. As, like, if you have very small knowledge of climate change, you can still do so much in your everyday lives, and we have a lot of resources to do so, and I think just really taking advantage of those resources is really important. Like in Eugene, we have our, like, waste, love food, not waste. We have our love food, not waste program, and it's super easy to start composting in your everyday life, and it makes a serious impact on the world if you can just do easy things like that every day.
Yeah, and like you said, it's, I mean, not everyone has the same level of understanding of these issues, and like, even at, like, we don't know everything, and that's kind of part of why we're pushing so much for this education, for education about these topics to be integrated into our schools, is so that we can learn about this subject, and so that everyone will have the same opportunities to take action and understand why it's so important.
I think by taking action as well, even if we have a very basic knowledge of climate change, which I feel I'm undereducated just because of the experiences I've had, I wish I was more educated about it. But by taking action, I think we will become more educated. So we just have to take that step, and we just all have to be responsible for what's happening.
I want to ask of the audience, I want to let everyone know that your vote counts, and that even though it seems like the younger generation, it seems that we have a lot already laid down and we have a good plan. We are not the people in power. Most of the people in power are of the older generations, and we can't wait for us to be in power. We don't have enough time for that.
There's all these personal things we can do, right? But I think, and we'll mention some of those things, and that's something that I'm still working on, that we're all still working on. But I think one of the most important things for action is coming together like this and trying to build community around it. Because the more we can grow our numbers and become more solidified together, the stronger the movement becomes.
I also want to say that a really easy thing that you can do in your everyday life is just consume less. Especially in America, we consume so much, whether it's food or specifically meat and things like that. And if you just are more mindful of what you're buying and what you're putting into your body and how it's contributing to the earth, then that's a really simple and easy thing that you can do at home.
I think also that there seems to be a strange argument between generations about the action that needs to be taken. A lot of blame going on, kind of a blame game, and it's really tiring and it's completely useless. So the way I think about it is we don't need to separate into generations. We don't need to, like, I'm Gen Z and I'm gonna do this. You guys are so separate from me. I would rather have a very connected community. I'm super glad that we're all able to be here together. Yeah, we don't have to think of generations when we think of climate change.
Yeah, a big misconception is that, like, oh, the younger generations will fix it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like it's our responsibility now. But the reality is, like, we all just have to come together and work together because we're all in it. Yeah. You know, I don't want to have to, like, look at my kids, like, when I'm older, and tell them, like, oh yeah, there's this big problem and we weren't able to fix it, so now it's on you.
I think with the consuming less, some personal things that you can do are, we're a very consumeristic society, obviously, and I've recently been trying to change my habits. And so just small things you can do every day, like eating less meat, because the meat and dairy industry actually creates an incredible amount of emissions, and it's also a very cruel industry. Yeah.
Something else that you can do to consume less is to, if it is accessible to you, take public transportation, because one of the largest polluters in Lane County and Eugene specifically is from cars. So just taking public transportation every once in a while, or riding your bike or walking, can do a lot more than you would think it would.
Yeah, there's, just quickly, sorry. I just wanted to say, I recently learned that of the three largest sectors of emissions in Eugene, at least for Eugene, I'm not sure about Lane County specifically, but there's 53% of emissions come from transportation. So the fact that a lot of individual people are driving their cars around everywhere, that's a large factor. And then I believe that it's might be 26 and 23 or 24 and something else, but 20-something is building energy. So that's natural gases and electricity. And then there's also waste from like landfills and refrigerant leakage, I think. So just if you wanted to know.
And I think it's also important to note that even though there are all these little steps that we can all take, and they are important, it's also important to understand that this is such a systemic and interconnected issue that we face. And really, I mean, I think one of the most important things you can do is just have conversations about it, and just have conversations like this, like what we're having, and like push for change at a more systemic level.
That can include like businesses that you're involved with too. That can include positions of power that you hold, because I think we all at some point in our lives hold positions of power where we can affect change. One thing I wanted to mention is that we've all been reading a book called Regeneration, and there's also a website called regeneration.org, and I would really, really recommend reading that book or visiting that website. It's an incredible summary of a more compassionate way that we can solve the climate crisis. It's about, rather than creating all these new technologies to fix things, it's about regenerating communities all around the world and regenerating ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Within one generation.
Right, within one generation, regeneration, to be able to fix the climate crisis. I would really recommend that book. It's called Regeneration by Paul Hawken.
Yeah, and another thing that you can do is acknowledging the privilege that you have, and using your privilege to help minorities and to help people who don't have accessibility to things that you may be able to have. And something unrelated to that you can also do is you can shop at secondhand stores or thrift stores, because fast fashion makes up a really big percentage of the world's greenhouse emissions
and
waste in the world. And but that also kind of goes hand in hand with the level of consuming things that you do.
And I think really quickly, I wanted to say, like you're saying, localization is really important. So finding ways that you yourself, or maybe businesses you're involved with or organizations, can localize the products coming to you or localize what you're buying.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our YouTube channel and our social media pages.